Well, it is certainly an honor to be with you all today. I am so excited to come before the Christ Church family and share a word with you. My name is Corey Ratliff, and I am bringing you greetings from the Sign of the Dove Church in Waukegan, where I am the senior co-pastor along with Jason Dewey. So today we're going to be getting into this series, and I'm grateful to join in the series with you called The Attributes of God. And so I get to do the attribute of the all-knowing God. And so let me pray first, and then we'll get into this. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every person that's here. I pray that their heart would be enriched as they hear the words of the Lord. Father, prepare our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, I have a question. You know, I've been to several different events where they talk about an individual that you think you know. And so sometimes you go to these places and they're talking about the person. It's just like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I had this opportunity to attend a funeral, and it was of a dear friend, and just God bless, God rest her soul. But as they were speaking about her, I was like, man, I did not know that about her. I did not know this about her. And of course, it brought joy as I heard these things because I was like, yep, that sounds exactly like her. Well, when we look at what God knows about us, God knows us way better than we know ourselves. And it's interesting that we can say we know something about someone when really we only know a portion, but God knows all. And so we want to look at today the attributes of God, that he is the all-knowing God. I have to tell you that the God we serve is intimately acquainted with us, intimately acquainted through and through. So we're going to look at Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, and we're going to take a look at this passage about the all-knowing God. Let's read together. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. After reading that passage, there's different things that kind of stick out. And so I want us to read it again. And this time, as you read it, I want you to pay attention to those things that just stand out at you. Here we go. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Upon reading this, it stirs up a little bit of emotion, and in some sense, it's a little bit uncomfortable. There's a depth of knowing that is a little unnerving. When you look at the language that is used, this type of knowing is like a deep excavation. It's like someone who's really intently looking for someone. In the psalm, it talks about right in verse 1, you have searched me and you know me. He is the creator. So him being the creator, he knows his creation through and through. He knows everything about us. So this makes us question first, what do we really believe about God? If we are secure in our belief of God, the intimate Father, then we have a reason to pause and revel in this, that God knows everything. However, if our belief is somewhat clouded by doubt and insecurity, then this passage may appear a little bit intrusive. Sometimes we can have these feelings because someone is deeply looking into us, deeply looking into our thoughts, and sometimes we shy away. But when it comes to the all-knowing God, He is the one that's intimately acquainted. So every single one of our ways, He knows. Verses 1 through 4 are centered on God's knowing of our whole being, every aspect of it, our thoughts, actions, and speech, well before they even happen. I'm going to list off several different scriptures and just follow along, write them down. Job 31:4 says, "Does He not see my ways and count my every step?" 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro over all the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully devoted to Him." Hebrews 4:13, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." All of creation will have to give an account for everything that's done. He says nothing is hidden from Him, so He knows everything. And as I said before, it'll either give you pause to revel or it'll make you feel very uncomfortable. But the intimate God wants you to draw near. The intimate God wants you to know that He cares about His children. He cares so much that He knows deeply who you are, right down to your thoughts. Even before they even come out your mouth, He already knows what you're going to say and what you're going to do. It's interesting between mates, how mates, when they know one another, husband and wife, when they know one another, they can guess what each other is going to say. They can almost finish each other's sentences. They almost have this same personality because they've been in unity. And that is the intimate fellowship that God wants with His creation. It can't be one-sided. He knows us, and He's inviting us in to know Him in a deep and intimate way. He knows our actions. He knows when we rise. He knows when we fall. He knows, He's intimately acquainted even with our ways. Some people may know only one aspect of you, and yet when they see you act in a certain way, it's like, I didn't know you was like that. But God has always known, and God has always looked out for you. Verse 5 gives us this notion of being fully surrounded. When it mentions that we are hemmed in, there's a hem that goes around the garment. When it mentions that we are hemmed in, look, we are surrounded by Him. We are surrounded by His knowledge. We are surrounded as He knows everything about us. So there's nowhere, there's nothing that I can end up doing that He is unaware of. He knows everything. This is an awesome attribute of the Lord our God. I'm going to give you some scripture here. Psalm 125:2, "As the mountains surrounded Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore." I am so grateful that the Lord God surrounds us. I'm so grateful that there's not any moment that I am left uncovered. He surrounds His people. Psalm 121:8, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." When you've come into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have become part of the family. You've become part of the family where the Good Shepherd is looking out for you. There's nowhere that you can go that He won't find you. When you cry out to Him, He is there. He knows your actions. He goes before you. And I love what the scripture says, both now and forevermore. And even in the end times, Revelation 1:17 says, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." His hand is heavy upon us. And I love it when it says His hand is heavy upon us. It's a comforting thing to know that in the midst of whatever is happening in my life, the hand of the Lord rests upon me. His hand of authority, His hand of protection, His hand of affirmation. letting us know that he is near. As a school teacher, I used to teach music class, and many times the technique that we would use for a child that might have been disruptive in a certain way is to go and just stand next to the child. I don't even have to say anything to the child, but go and stand next to the child and put my hand on their shoulder just to let them know that I am present. This is awesome because the Lord God is letting us know that in his knowing, he is present, and he is present with you. His hand is laid upon you. The glorious God of all creation is well acquainted with us. There's nothing he doesn't know. Every day he is already fully aware of our ways. I love what the psalmist says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain. It's overwhelming to even think about how much God knows about us. It's overwhelming to even think about the fact that God knows what I'm going to do before it even happens. But it brings about some responses. And I want to talk about those responses. This all-knowing God requires a response from his children. As I've read this passage over and over and over again, God began to reveal how we should respond to this level of intimacy. He is the God that knows us, and he is to be known. And so I've got a couple of response groupings, if you will. My first response grouping is that there should be awe, fascination, and fear. Awe, fascination, and fear. And I want to get into each one of these. In this response of awe, fascination, and fear, to know that God knows everything should bring about this like wonder of like, who in earth is this? Who is this that knows the intimate things of me? Oh my goodness, it creates a wonder, an elementary awe in which God impresses you. I believe in the church today, we're missing that awe. That awe that God impresses us. Every day we should be waking up with this elementary wonder. It's like my daughter. There's some things that I can do where my daughter just thinks I'm the best thing in the world. It creates an awe in her. She's like, wow, Dad. And that's the same response that we should have to this God who is all-knowing. It's like, man, God, that is just awesome that you are fully acquainted with everything about me. There's an awe that we need to have every single day. And God is inviting us into that place of that elementary awe. Let me give you a scripture. Psalm 119, 161. It says, rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. So the things that God speaks into us, the things that God presents to us, there should be an awe. God is almost like saying, everywhere you go, I'm going to create a situation that is so crafted for you because I know you, and it's going to leave you in awe. Church, we are missing the awe. We need to get the awe of God. But then there's the fascination. Fascination or attraction. You know how sometimes you can be so fascinated with a sports character. You can be so fascinated with an actor or an actress. You're so fascinated that you're doing all the research. You watch all the reels. You watch all the movies. You know all their stats. Yeah, you're fascinated by the person. And God is saying that's the fascination. You need to have a fascination of him. He is the all-knowing God. If you know so much about me, God, I need to know about you. There is a mutual thing, a mutual relationship that needs to happen so that we can know this God. Now, we probably won't know everything about him at all because, excuse me, our knowledge is so finite. But his knowledge is infinite. So there's a lot to research. We'll be doing this all our lives, getting to know our God. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your accomplishments. I reflect on the work of your hands. If we're going to get a fascination of God, there needs to be a time of meditation. We need to meditate on the works of God. We need to remind ourselves of what God has done. In that reminding, that fascination develops, that attraction develops. God, I want more. I need to know you more. God, you've been doing things over and over in my life. I need to know you more. Church, we need a fascination of the all-knowing God. But then this next one is a fear. This is a holy fear, a holy reverence of the all-knowing God. I don't know about you, but it puts me in a place of just like, whoa, you know everything. Oh my goodness. And it's just like, God, there's nothing that is hidden from you. Oh my gosh. And you have this reverent respect because of the all-knowing God. There's a reverence that I have. There's a reverence that I have that just wants me to honor you and revere you. And Deuteronomy 17, 19, it says, and this is speaking of the law that the king was supposed to write down. It says, it is to remain with him, and he is to read from it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this instruction and these statutes. Church, I believe we're missing the fear because we're not in his word. We are missing the fear of the Lord because we're not in his word. This is the all-knowing God. He knows everything. And the response of his creation should be one of awe, fascination, and fear. When we're walking in these ways, we are able to experience a fullness like never before. We're able to truly have a genuine, authentic relationship with the Lord God Almighty, having this awe, having this fascination, and having this reverent fear of the Lord. One truth that should constantly have us in this particular group of responses is that God knows us so well. He knows us so completely. He knows us so intimately, and yet still desires to dwell with us. He knows our lies. He knows our insecurities. He knows our doubts. He knows our fears, and yet he still desires to dwell with us. That in itself should keep us in this place of awe and fascination. God, how is it that you love me like you do? How is it that you still are rooting for me every single day? I've disappointed you. I've disobeyed you. Yet you are rooting for me every single day. He knows the depths of our lies. He knows the depths of our falsehoods. He knows our deception, but still desires us. Wow. Wow, God, wow. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That in itself is mind-blowing. How is it that you still died for me? How is it that you still gave your life for me? Knowing in the future how many times I would still disappoint you, how many times I would still deny you, but yet and still, your love is available to me. Church, that should put us in a place of awe, fascination, and fear. The all-knowing God. He knows what you're going to do. He knows how you will mess up. But yet, his son is enough. The fact that Christ died, the fact that Christ shed his blood is enough. God will see you and see the blood, and he says, I know my child. Wow. It's fascinating. It's a wonder. God, thank you. Another group of responses is that it should bring about a trust, a confidence, and an action of surrender. a trust, a confidence, and an action of surrender. When there's a person that knows everything about you, that means there's no surprises. I mean, we can trust God. God sets himself up to be trusted. He's the all-knowing God, so he knows everything, so nothing is hidden from him. He can be trusted. Many times, people are coming into faith, and they still haven't given their all because they haven't fully placed their trust in Christ. But God is inviting us in today to trust him more and more. He says, look, I know you. I know what's going to come around the corner. I know what's going to happen in the future. I know what's going to happen. I know you. I know how you're going to respond. Look, you can trust me. I've got you. Let's look at the scripture. Says Isaiah 12, verse number 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. I will put my trust in the Lord and not be afraid. He knows everything. He knows the pitfalls that are coming. And so I will put my trust because he has become my strength and salvation. When I said yes to Christ, he brought me into his family, and he declares that I am going to be your good shepherd. And so I will take care of you no matter what comes your way. I am your God, and you can trust me. Everything else that we have put ourselves before has disappointed us. People have disappointed us. Jobs have disappointed us. Different scenarios of college and education and what we thought was going to happen, it has disappointed us. But God has remained firm that I am your God and I am your salvation and I am to be trusted. He's the all-knowing God. Everything else is sinking sand, but he is a firm foundation. It also brings about a response of confidence. There is confidence when you have nothing to prove. God already approves of me because I am in Christ. I don't stand condemned or ashamed in all of my faults and mess ups because he loves me. So many times we're operating from a place of insecurity because we don't trust this attribute of the all-knowing God. When we come into him, he already knows all the hurts and all the pains and everything we went through, and he sees them, he knows them, he knows how they happen. And so it's not hidden. So why are we trying to hide from those things with him? God invites us in to come and be comforted by him. In the midst of all the hurts, in the midst of all the pains, he said, come near to me. I know who you are. Come near to me. I know how this healing can take place. Come near to me. It creates a security. It creates a security where I am secure in the Lord God because he knows me. I might not be able to talk to anybody else about what I'm going through. I might be in the church body and still can't talk about different things. I remember I experienced that myself, being in church and being part of the worship and still not being able to share the intimate details of my own heart. I'm gonna tell you people, God knows you and he will give you the security you need where you don't have to fear anymore. He's the all-knowing God. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence and his children will have refuge. Sometimes we've been disappointed in church. Sometimes we've been disappointed in our families. Sometimes all these different places that we thought was a secure refuge didn't turn out that way. But God, every time, is a secure refuge. When you look at Adam and Eve, they had security. They had security in the garden. They were able to move about. They didn't even know that they were naked. They didn't even know that they needed clothes. There was security in his presence. And it wasn't until the seeds of doubt were sown that they began to feel ashamed. It wasn't until sin that they began to feel inadequate, insecure. We need the presence of the all-knowing God. Having his presence, drawing near to his presence, enables us to have a confidence where you can walk about unashamed, where you can walk about without guilt, without the guilt of the past. You can walk in freedom because of the all-knowing God being held in his hands. It's a powerful reality. It's a powerful truth. Where are the children of God? Where are the people of God that will stand and say, we are the ones who are delivered. We are the ones who are forgiven. Come and know this God who knows everything about us. It's just like the woman at the well. She couldn't help but be overwhelmed to go and deliver a message that there is a God that knows everything about me. Come and see. Come and see. It's the same thing for today. We would have churches filled if there were a confident people that would say, come and see a man that knows everything about me. This church would be filled. There would be a need for more churches if there were more people that would stand in confidence of the all-knowing God. Hallelujah. This next response is a response of surrender. Because he does see all my faults and yet continues to pour out his grace, I can't help but humbly submit to him. He knows everything. He could easily open up a screen and air out all of my dirty laundry all over this place. But in his grace, he covers me. In his grace, he knows what I can handle. And so he invites me into a response of surrender, surrendering my ways unto him. Familiar passage is Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, let me say that again, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The response to the all-knowing God is a place of sacrificing yourself, surrendering yourself to the all-knowing God in view of his mercy. We don't realize how merciful he's been. We don't realize how he's covered us over. We don't realize how he's always been working things. We don't realize that in knowing our ways, he's crafted different things just for you. In view of God's mercy, let's present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We're not dead, but we are living because of his spirit living within us. His spirit making us alive where we were once walking in death. His spirit now makes us alive. And he says, be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. People of God, the all-knowing God requires a response of surrender. This grouping is really powerful. Trust, confidence, and surrender. Church, we need to get to this place where we are trusting, where we are working and operating in confidence, and where we are in this place of surrender. You see, God desires an intimate exchange between him and his creation. There's a level of intimacy where there's an exchange of knowing, where I know the deep things of you, and you know the deep things of me. And God's saying, I already know everything. Come into relationship with me. I invite you into relationship with me. I already know who you are. I invite you in. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter all the lies that have been told. It doesn't matter just all the actions that have happened. I invite you in. I am so serious about this invitation that I sent my own son to die for you. I invite you in. I invite you in to this level of intimacy. What we believe about God determines the level of intimacy. This relationship with the all-knowing God is to be active and authentic. Because he knows everything already. So let's stop lying to even our own selves. Bear all before the Lord God. Reveal all before the Lord God. He is loving and he is gracious and he wants relationship with you. I end with this challenge. I challenge you to spend time in meditation with God's word. Even if it's this passage of Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, spend time meditating on his word. If you happen to go out on walks, spend time listening to the word of God. Spend time enjoying what God has created as you walk on the path. Enjoy what God has created. Watch the birds. Watch the insects. Enjoy what God has created. In fact, here's another challenge. Enjoy the body of Christ. Hallelujah. In all of her creativity, in all of her intricacies, enjoy the body of Christ because God's glory rests on the body. Love one another. Fellowship together. In doing this, we come to know more about the all-knowing God. May his word produce these intimate responses that cause us to experience more and more of the all-knowing God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you invite us in. I thank you, Lord God, that your knowledge is so great. But yet and still, you pour out your grace. I thank you, Lord God, that your grace is being poured out even today. Father, someone is wanting you to come in. We pray, Father, that they would confess their sins and receive you, receive your gift of salvation. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would meet us. Draw us near. I pray for the young people in particular, Lord God, that their eyes would be open to the revelation of who you are. I pray that their wonder would not be tainted with the things of the world, but Lord God, but their wonder would be just completely drawn in by your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. We worship you, the Almighty God, the all-knowing God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.